ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಪರಮಾತ್ಮನೇ ನಮಃ. ಗುಣತ್ರಯ ವಿಭಾಗ ಯೋಗೋ ನಾಮ ಚತುರ್ದಶೋಧ್ಯಾಯ. ಅರ್ಜುನ ಉವಾಚ, 21st ವರ್ಸ್. ಕೈರ್ಲಿಂಗೈ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನ್ ಗುಣಾನೇತಾನ್ ಅತೀತೋ ಭವತಿ ಪ್ರಭೋ, ಕಿಮಾಚಾರಃ ಕಥಂ ಚೈತಾನ್ ಸ್ತ್ರೀನ್ ಗುಣಾನತಿ ವರ್ತತೆ. As I mentioned earlier, Arjuna, exactly he asked the second chapter about Sthita Prajna, a wise person. Second chapter he asked about a wise person in as a Sthita Prajna. Now in this chapter he is talking about a Gunatitaha. Sthita Prajna of second chapter is the Gunatitaha of the 14th chapter. There's no difference. A wise person is said to be a Gunatitaha. A wise person is said to be a Sthita Prajna Sthitadihi. So, how does this wise person become free from Trigunas? And what are the characteristic features? He wanted to know. And Bhagavan had a telling in 22nd verse. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Prakasham Cha Pravruttin Cha Mohameva Cha Pandava Nadveshti Sampravruttani Nanivruttani Kaṅkṣati Prakasham Cha Pravruttin Cha ಮೋಹಮೇವ ಚ ಪಾಂಡವ ನದ್ವೇಷ್ಟಿ ಸಂಪ್ರವೃತ್ತಾನಿ ನ ನಿವೃತ್ತಾನಿ ಕಾಂಕ್ಷತಿ. ಇನ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ ದ ಮೇನ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿ ಸಾ ಆಫ್ ಅ ವೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಮೇನ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಕ್ಟರಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಫೀಚರ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಅ ವೈಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್, ಫ್ರೀ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ಹೋಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಲೈಕ್ಸ್. Na kaṅkṣati na dveṣṭi. He does not hate, nor does he desire. Which means he is free from ragadveṣas. He is free from passion and aversion. And I told you many times, this one thing has to be remembered. A wise person is naturally free from the hold of likes and dislikes. Means he is not afflicted by likes and dislikes. There is no mental disturbance. Whether likes are there or dislikes are there, there is mental disturbance. He is free from the hold of desires. He is free from the hold of likes and dislikes. He is free from the hold of raga dveshas. There is neither raga nor dvesha. Na icchati, na kaṅkṣati, na dveshti means there is neither raga nor dvesha on the part of a wise person, because the two reasons. How is it possible for him to be free from the hold of likes and dislikes? Likes are possible only if a person is dependent on something external for his happiness. Dislike also is possible only if a person is dependent on getting rid of something for his happiness. If a person is dependent on possessing, gaining, owning, or something other than oneself for his happiness, then it is natural, it be natural for him to have likes. If a person is dependent on the absence, or if the person is dependent on getting rid of something for his happiness also, then naturally there is a dislike is possible. So the wise person is not at all dependent on presence or absence, not dependent on anything external other than the self for his happiness, nor is he dependent on getting rid of something for his happiness. Therefore, there is neither raga or dvesha possible. That is the main characteristic feature which we saw in the verse in this verse number 22nd. We already seen this. Okay, we'll see the next verse. Again, That is, when a person understands what the Atma is, and then the person becomes self-dependent. In self-dependent, he'll be independent. Which means he understands the self being free from gunas. He does not become free from trigunas. When a person claims the pure consciousness implied by the term Atma as the self, consciousness is free from trigunas. Even though trigunas, the matter in him of trigunas, is not outside of consciousness, consciousness is absolutely free from trigunas. And this consciousness implied by the term Atma is claimed as one's own self. A wise person does not become guna atitaha. He claims guna atitatvam as very nature. Atma is always ever free from trigunas. Understanding the Atma being all day free from trigunas is actually claiming that Atma to be the self, he becoming as for becoming free from trigunas. Okay. So what is next verse? We'll see this.
Udasina vadasino gunair Udasina vadasinaha gunair yo na vichalyate Udasina vadasinaha gunair yo na vichalyate Guna vartanta ityeva yovatishthati nengate Guna vartanta ityeva yovatishthati nengate Udasina vadasinaha gunair yona vichalyate Udasina vadasinaha Gunayona vichalyate guna vartanta ityeva yovatishthati nengate guna vartanta ityeva yovatishthati nengate.
So again, who is a gunatitaha? For that question, answer is given again in this 23rd verse also. Udasinavat asinaha yaha. Yaha gunaihi na vichalyate. Yaha gunaha vartante ityeva avatishtati. Saha na ingate. Saha nengate. Here, ingate, na ingate, nengate is a verb. Na ingate, nengate. Ingate is atpane padam. I need not tell you which padam it is. Ingate is a verb, atpane padam. Ingate means wavers, shakes, wavers. Na ingate does not waver. Does not change, does not move, does not waver. Na vichalyate. Vichalyate means is disturbed. Na vichalyate is not disturbed. Is not disturbed. Na ingate does not waver. Who does not waver? Who is not disturbed? Saha, that person is not disturbed. That person does not waver. That person is not disturbed by what? Na vichalyate, is not disturbed by what? Gunaihi. Gunaihi na vichalyate. That person is not disturbed by gunas, means the body, mind, sense complex. Are the problems of gunas, are the limitations of gunas, limitations of body, mind, sense complex. The problems associated with the body, mind, sense complex. by all of them, by gunas means by matter, by material products, by body, mind, sense complex, or by the problems associated with the body, mind, sense complex, that person gunaihi na vichalyate is not disturbed. Gunaihi na vichalyate. Na ingate, he does not waver. Who? It is said, yaha udasinavat asinaha. Yaha udasinavat asinaha. Udasinaha means an indifferent person. Udasinavat means like an indifferent person. As though he is an indifferent person. The person who remains. Asinaha means who stays, who remains. The whoever remains as though is indifferent. The sense he is not disturbed by the gunas. And one who does not really waver, that person, yaha avatishtati. Yaha avatishtati. If he does not, he is not disturbed by the gunas, if he does not waver, means physical problems do not trouble him, emotional problems do not trouble him, or he no other or anything associated with the body, mind, and complex. In fact, to make it very simple, this person is not at all disturbed by any external situation, any external condition, anything which is happening, either for himself or for others, whatever happens in the society, in the world, no external situation can really disturb this person. So the Satchapur is said to be the one who is not disturbed by the gunas. The person who is not disturbed by anything external is said to be the one who is not disturbed by the gunas. Whatever happens, he is not disturbed by anything. So, gunaihi na vichalyate. The way what happens is, there, he remains as though he is indifferent. And how does he remain? Avatishtati. Avatishtami, he remains unshakable, he remains firm. Avatishtati means he remains firm. He remains strong and firm. Because he does not waver. Na ingate. Why? Because gunaha vartante iti eva yaha avatishtati. This person remains firm, having clear vision. It is possible for the wise person to remain firm because, how is it possible for him to remain firm? Saha avatishtati. This person remains firm because he has a clear vision, clear understanding, doubt-free understanding, ascertained understanding. So, avatishtati, what is understanding he has? Gunaha vartante. Gunaha vartante iti. Yes, he understands. Gunaha vartante means there is matter, there are elements, there are elemental products. There is a body. There is a body. There is a mind. There are sense organs. There are everything other than whatever is in the world, whatever is perceived, whatever is experienced, whatever is enjoyed, they're all material products. Whatever is seen, heard, through sense, smelt, tasted, the entire objective universe is nothing but material products. And one's own body, mind's complex material products. And they're all objects of knowledge. And they're all of the nature of undergoing changes. Because this matter means it is natural for the matter to undergo changes. So this person has a very clear understanding of what trigunas are, what this matter is all about. And he knows what is satyam. Satyam is atma. Other than atma, everything else is what? The matter which is mithya. which is not countable as parallel reality because it is no independent existence. And this matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. Now, this person, I sense, this person does not have any identity with the physical body, mind, sense, compass, or anything material as the self. And this person has a very clear understanding that the I actually, essentially, am consciousness implied by the term Atma, which is the only Satyam, the only all-pervasive reality, and his Atma is unaffected by anything. He knows, he is very clear. What is subject to change, what is not subject to change, this person is very clear. There is Atma, there is Anatma. Atma is of the nature of consciousness, which is the actual content of I, which is the truth of I, which is the Swarupam of I, essential nature of I am Atma. And other than Atma, whatever it is Anatma, which is matter, which has no independent existence, which is subject to change, and which is subject to change. Nothing is perishable here. Atma is absolutely indestructible. Anatma is relatively destructible. Absolutely nothing is destructible here. So when the person has Satyam and Mithya, what is permanent, what is subject to change? So he's understanding the subtle fact. When the person understands the fact, he accepts the fact. So he does not fight against the fact. See, acceptance of the fact as a fact helps him remain firm. Avatishtati. Gunaha vartante. Yes, gunas are, which means the matter is, in a subtle form, in a gross form, in the form of physical body, everything is subject to change, it's all mithya, it has no independent existence. With this clear understanding, okay, gunaha vartante, this is how gunas are, this is how matter is. Iti avatishtati, okay, this person remains firm with a clear vision, doubt-free vision of what is Satyam and what is Mithya, and his identity, for him, there is no I. I actually, the relative manifestation, which is nothing but essentially Atma. When the fact becomes very clear, it's a question of clarity of vision of what is Satyam and what is Mithya. What happens? Na ingate, he does not waver. Avatishtati, he remains firm with a clear vision of the fact. Therefore, what happens to him? He says, gunaha vartante ityeva yaha avatishtati, the person who remains firm, that person na ingate, does not waver. He is not at all disturbed by gunas. Gunaihi na vichalyate. You can understand now. I'm sure all of you can understand it's a passive voice sentence. Gunaihi saha na vichalyate. And such a person is a gunatitaha. Gunatitaha means one who is free from gunas, means one who has understood the Atma being free from gunas. Gunatitaha, then he is free from all forms of afflictions. He is a muktaha. That is what is said here. Na yingate na vichalyate, gunaihi na vichalyate, means he is not disturbed by any situation. Nothing can shake him, not disobey anything. And here, because he has a clear understanding, avatishtati, he is very firm. Therefore, what happens? He remains firm because of his clear vision, therefore he does not waver.
Udasina vadasinaha gunairyo na vichalyate gunaha vartante.
When you're reading, visarga gets dropped. Ekar also is dropped.
Guna vartanta ityeva yo vatishthati nengate.
Next verse.
samadukha-sukha-swastha samaloshtashma-kanchanah samadukha-sukha-swastha samaloshtashma-kanchanah tulya-priya-priyo-dhirah tulya-nindatma-samstutih. Samadukha-sukha-swastah samaloshtashma-kanchanah tulya-priya-priyo-dhirah tulya-nindatma-samstutih. Samadukha-sukha-swastah samaloshtashma-kanchanah samaloshtashma-kanchanah tulya-priya-priyo-dhirah tulya-nindatma-samstutih. Samadukha-sukha-swastah samaloshtashma-kanchanah tulya-priya-priyo-dhirah tulya-nindatma-samstutih. Beautiful verse. You will come across similar verses in even following chapters. You already came across this verse in 12th chapter also. I don't know whether you remember all those verses. We will be redoing the summaries of these chapters. It will become much clearer. Samadukha sukaha. Hey, who is the gunatitaha? A wise person is the gunatitaha. What happened to him? He sees the self as the Atma, which is absolute pure consciousness, is free from all gunas, which lends existence for the gunas in the form of elements and the elementals and all their modifications. Therefore, Atma is free from trigunas. And he sees the Atma as the self, the reality as the self, therefore this person is free from gunas. Such a person, what happens, once the identity is shifted from Anatma to Atma, when a person sees himself as the Atma, then from the standpoint of Atma, that person is absolutely free, unafflicted. Therefore, then he can remain what? Samadukha sukaha. There'll be sukham and dukkham, there'll be pleasure and pain. Pleasure is a mental condition. Samadukha sukaha means the person who remains the same in pain and pleasure. Is it possible to remain the same in pain and pleasure? For Ajnani, it is impossible. In pain, a person will feel depressed and dejected. In pain, he will feel low. And in pleasure, he'll feel elated. But here, a wise person, samadukha sukaha, sukhe dukkhe cha samaha yaha, samadukha sukaha, yaha, sukhe dukkhe, samam tishtam, samaha. So, samadukha sukaha. The one who remains the same without any elation or dejection, balanced, unafflicted, in the same. How is it possible? Because sukham is a mental condition. Pleasure is a mental condition. Pain also is a state of mind. What is pain? Any pain is a state of mind. It's a mental condition. What about pleasure? Pleasure also is a mental condition. And pain and pleasure stand for what? All pairs of opposites. They're of the nature of arriving and departing. They come and go. And they are ordained by one's own punya papam. In keeping with one's punya papam, one has his own succumbs. Some situation becomes instrumental. And one goes through pleasure and pain. The wise person who is objective towards his own mind. Okay. The pain for him, he knows. Wise person, a gunatitaha, is the one who is a jnani, who knows the self is Atma implied by the term, the consciousness implied by the term Atma, and Atma is the very existence. Atma is the source of happiness. Atma is of the nature of fullness. Atma is of the nature of fullness. Atma is of the nature of happiness. Therefore, Atma and the pleasure and pain, what Atma lends existence for both pain and pleasure. So Atma is free from both pain and pleasure. Atma which lends existence to pain and pleasure, is free from pain and pleasure. Atma has neither pain nor pleasure. Atma has lends existence to both pain and pleasure. And the person who sees the self as the Atma, and he is not affected by pain and pleasure, and he is objective towards his pain and pleasure. For him, pain is a mental condition which comes and goes. Pleasure also is a mental condition which comes and goes, which are ordained by karma phalam, the Bhagavan of order, in keeping with the karma, and which cannot affect him. He is free from punya papams. He is free from pain and pleasure. Therefore, the pain will not make a gunatitaha, a wise person, afflicted. Pleasure will not increase his happiness. Pain will not decrease his happiness. Pain will not decrease his happiness. Pleasure will not increase his happiness. Why? Because happiness is the very nature of the Atma, which lends existence to both pain and pleasure. Therefore, the pacha person, a wise person, is samadukha sukaha. He remains the same in all situations. How is it possible? It's all perspective change. If a person has a clear vision of the reality of one's own essential nature, being Atma, and once the person becomes objective towards his own body, mind, and complex, and naturally, physically he still has the body, mind, and complex, but cognitively he is objective, means that distinct understanding, at the same time who understands the distancelessness of Atma and Anatma, and he sees Anatma as Mithya, appearance of Satya Atma, that person naturally can remain unafflicted. He can remain the same in pain and pleasure. He remains the same in all situations. All pairs of opposites. For samadukha sukaha, then swastaha. Swastaha means, in fact, swastyam means health. Now what is swastaha? Swastyam means health. The wise person alone, according to Vedanta Shastram, if you ask who is absolutely healthy, a wise person alone is absolutely healthy. Wise person alone is healthy. Wise person alone is normally normal. Okay? Any ignorant person is abnormally normal. But a mad person is abnormally abnormal. Okay? A mad person is abnormally abnormal. Okay? Ajnani is abnormally normal. Ajnani is normally normal. Why? Because we hope you understand what I'm saying. Because ajnani, swastaha means health. Who is healthy? Who just remains himself. If you remain yourself, if you do not mistake, if you see yourself as the self, you see yourself as the self, which means we don't have identity. If you are objective towards the body, mind, and complex, then if you are not superimposed, there's no superimposition on your part of the limitations of anatma upon the atma, then if you have no wrong notions about the self, means if you remain yourself, then self-abidance, abiding in one's own self. If identity is shifted from anatma to atma, then you abide in yourself. Self-abidance is called swasthyam. No, being absolutely healthy means being, having self-abidance. Abiding in one's own self is called swasthyam, health. So here, swastaha, jnani swastaha means he remains himself. He remains himself means he does not take the anatma as the atma. If you do not mistake anatma as the atma, it means you know what atma is. If you know what you are, then you know what Atma is. If you know what Atma is, then you abide with yourself. It's called swastaha, abiding in one's own self is swastyam. Self-abidance is swastyam. The wise person is said to be swastaha, one who abides in one's own self. Abiding in one's own self means he does not mistake anatma, body, mind, sense complex for the self. Therefore, he is free from all wrong notions. Therefore, he is swastaha. If you have wrong identity, you mistake anatma for the atma, if you have wrong notions about the self, you are not swastaha, you are aswastaha. You are unhealthy. You are sick. Now, when you are aswastaha, if you take the body as the self, mind as the self, your identity with anatma, and then you all your transactions are based on your erroneous perception of yourself as the body, mind, and complex, with all limitations, having wrong notions about yourself, then you are unhealthy. You are aswastaha. Is it clear? Every ajnani naturally, helplessly unhealthy. Ajnani is absolutely healthy. Jnani is abides in one's own self. Ajnani has wrong identity with the non-self. Thereby, he superimposes the limitations of anatma upon the atma. Thereby, he has wrong notions about the self. So, whoever entertains wrong notions about the self, an ajnani is unhealthy, aswastaha. But a jnani abides in oneself, therefore he is swastaha, he is healthy. Swastaha, then we have samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Very nice. You know, samaha, he remains the same towards everything. What? Loshta, ashma, kanchanaha. See here, the word kanchanam means gold. Ashma means stone. Loshta means earth, a small ball of clay. Loshta means a clod of earth, a small ball of clay. Any small ball of clay or soil is called loshta. Ashma means, ashma is a, not ashmam, okay, ashma. Nakaran Shabda, neuter gender word. Loshtam, ashma. Ashma means a stone. Kanchanam, gold. Yaha, loshte, ashmani, kanchane, samaha. One who remains the same towards all of them. He is samaloshtashma kanchanaha. He is, for him, gold is not something more. We see the value of it, isn't it? There's no added value to anything. Know why? For him, there's nothing. A person who sees satyam, what is satyam? If a person has a clear vision of the self being atma, and in the wake of the clear vision of the self being atma, for him, what is only truth, only reality, only satyam is atma. What about everything else? Everything else is mithya. When everything else is mithya, means nothing has independent existence, nothing is source of happiness. The person who is not dependent on anything, anatma for his happiness, for him gold or stone or a piece of, you know, a small ball of clay or a clod of earth doesn't make any sense. Everything is the same for him. Why? Everything is mithya for him. Gold is mithya. Clay is mithya. A clod of earth is mithya. Even, you know, stone is mithya. Mithya means there's no independent existence and it is not a soul. For him, the Atma is the only source of happiness. See, only if a person is self-dependent, only in self-dependence, in the wake of the clear vision of the Atma being, the one's own self being Atma, a person understands self is the only source of happiness. If a person discovers the self being the only source of happiness, the person becomes self-dependent. If a person becomes self-dependent, he becomes independent of anything other than the self. In independence, he looks at everything as mithya. Then in independence, he remains as, he can remain the same towards everything. Only if you are independent of anything and everything other than the self for happiness and security, you can remain the same towards everything. As long as you are dependent, then there will be difference. For you, gold will be more valuable, this will be less valuable. Naturally, you cannot remain the same towards all of them. Okay? Only a wise person can remain the same towards all of them because he is not dependent on anything other than the self for his happiness, because for himself is the only source of happiness. Amazing. This is the fact. This is what is implied here. Therefore, samaloshtashma kanchanaha. Samaha loshte ashmani kanchane samaha yaha. Samaloshtashma kanchanaha. The person who, the one who remains the same towards a small ball of clay, a clod of earth, or a piece of stone, or even gold. That person is a gunatitaha. Swastaha is a gunatitaha. Samadukha sukaha is a gunatitaha. Not only that, tulya priya priyaha. Tulya priya priyaha. Tulya priya apriyaha. See, priya means favorable, desirable. Apriya, undesirable, unfavorable. What is favorable? What is unfavorable? What is desirable? What is undesirable? Priya, apriya, situations, external situation. Okay. So, or something desirable is priya. Something undesirable is apriya. In all situations, priya, apriya, priya, apriya, vatavarane, in all situations, one who remains the same. Same thing. I have to make you feel tired of listening to the same thing. He remains the same in all situations. In desirable, undesirable situations means undesirable, unfavorable situations will not reduce his happiness. Cannot remove his happiness. Because happiness is his sorupa. Desirable situation cannot add to his happiness, cannot increase his happiness, because happiness is the very nature. What is happiness? Fullness, limitlessness. So being limitless is being happy. Being happy is being full. So fullness, happiness, limitlessness happens to be the very nature of the consciousness, very nature of the Atma, the self. The content of I, happiness does not come and go. So non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness, fullness is the very nature of the Atma, which is his own self. So he is the source, so he sees the self being the only source of happiness. Therefore, such a person has discovered the self being the only source of happiness, naturally being independent of everything else. The external situation does not, cannot increase fullness. Increase the fullness. All the fullness is the very nature. Can increase his happiness. Cannot reduce his happiness also. Unpleasant, undesirable situation cannot reduce his happiness. Why? Because the desirable, undesirable situations, they come and go. And for all of them, adhara, substratum, support is the self. Therefore, the person who abides in oneself, swastaha, for him, it doesn't matter. So he remains the same in all situations. I, the self, am the Atma of the nature of happiness. One who lends existence to situations is not affected by situations. Therefore, the wise person remains the same.
Tulya Priya Priyaha. The same thing, Tulya Priya Priyaha. Therefore, let me tell you one more thing. Tulya Nindatma Samstutihi. Tulya Ninda Atma Samstutihi. And in praise and censure, in praise and criticism, the person is honored or dishonored, or humiliated. In humiliation and in honor, he remains the same. Whether he is praised or he is criticized, he remains the same. Criticism will not make him unhappy. Glorifications, praises will not make him happy. Why? He is very happiness. Happiness cannot be made happy. Happiness cannot be made unhappy. So Tulya Ninda, in Ninda, when there's criticism, he's the same. Criticism does not change his nature, cannot change his nature of being happy. Therefore, remaining as the self, abiding in the self, having happiness in the very nature, this person being not dependent, so criticism does not shake him, does not reduce or make him unhappy, cannot make him unhappy, nor can glorifications increase or add to his nature, what he is already. So he remains the same in criticism and glorification. He remains the same in honor and dishonor. He remains the same in praise and censure. So tulya ninda tulya ninda atma samstutihi. In self glorification, he remains the same. In criticism, he remains the same. Which means he's not shaken. See, only when there's in dependence upon anything other than the self or happiness and security, then it is possible for one to be, to be afflicted, to be disturbed by glorification or criticism. So, tulya ninda atma samstutihi. And one more word, dhiraha. This person is dhiraha. And such an unafflicted person alone is said to be dhiraha. Really, he is a brave person. I told you many times, the wise person is called dhiraha. I don't know whether you still remember the meaning I explained earlier. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Rati means protects. And dhihi means intellect. The wise person is the one who has protected his intellect, protected his mind. Otherwise, the unwise, otherwise, ignorant person is the one who has not protected his intellect. One, he allows his mind to be disturbed by external situation because of his ignorance, because of his dependence. That person is said to have the unprotected mind. Whereas a wise person who is independent of the world for his happiness and security, one who doesn't allow his mind to be disturbed by any external situation because of his clear vision or because of his self-abidance, that person is the one who has protected his mind. And he is said to be dhiraha. Such a person alone is said to be absolutely a brave, courageous person. So that person is said to be fearless person also. And dhiraha means brave. The brave is the one who is free from fear. Free from the hold of the phenomenon called the fear. The fearless minded is the one who has protected his mind. He is fearless because he is free from the fear of death. Free from the fear of death. He is free from the hold of fear of death because he is free from the very hold of the very phenomenon called fear. Because he is free from fear of death.
He's free from fear of death because he knows his self is absolutely indestructible. You know, self is absolutely immortal. Understanding of immortality, the wisdom, the knowledge of the self, blesses the person with the understanding of immortality. Therefore, the person knows self is absolutely indestructible, immortal, timeless. Therefore, once a person understands what is subject to change, what is of the nature of changelessness. He knows Atma is of the nature of changelessness, timelessness, absolutely indestructible. He knows matter is subject to change and matter is of the nature of undergoing changes. Therefore, he knows matter is relatively destructible. Consciousness is absolutely indestructible. There's nothing which is absolutely destructible. The understanding of the fact, and if he knows, I am the Atma, and once he has a clear vision of what is not subject to change, what is subject to change, and the clear vision, he understands the fact, he accepts the fact, there's no fear. There's nothing to be afraid of. It is the clear vision of what is absolutely indestructible, what is relatively destructible. This knowledge blesses a person with the acceptance of everything as it is. Thereby what happened? He is no more fear of, oh, I am going to die. I will die. The person is free from this common human fundamental problem of sense of mortality centered on I. When a person becomes free from this common human fundamental problem of mortality centered on I, this person is free from the fear of death, which means he's a person of utter fearlessness. And he is the one who has protected his mind. And such a person who has protected his mind is said to be the bravest, the courageous person. He's a dhiraha. Okay. Otherwise, if there's no wisdom, and however brave you sound, you talk, you walk, you behave, still you are not a brave person. What makes a person really brave? It is wisdom. What makes a person really wise? It is self-knowledge. Okay, who's gunatitah? It's a beautiful verse. Okay. Let us read again. Samadukha-sukha-swastha Samaloshtashmakanchanah Tulya-priya-priyo-dhirah Tulya-nindatma-samstutihi. Very nice verse. What jnanam does, amazing. That is why Swamiji always used to say, there's no greater miracle than knowledge. Nothing can, what miracle? No miracle other than knowledge. Amazing. Once knowledge happens, the whole perspective changes means everything changes. That is real miracle is in knowledge. Okay, not in getting some bhuti and some shivalingam out of the mouth. Isn't it? It will not change your course of thing. What miracle? Okay. You see, I was reading Narayanam. I proposed record for it. Four major, I haven't recorded Narayanam. It's so late. Not so many. So many things are happening here. So I read. Once what happened? Bhagavan Krishna was playing. Once he went out with all his cowherds, and surrounded by cows, he went out to Brindavanam. And that's such a beautiful, 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 beautiful place, Vanam, Brindavanam. And what happened? There was one banyan tree called Bandirakam. They all went to Bandirakam and they were all playing there. And then when they were playing, Krishna knew everything, okay? There's a purpose why he went out with his friends, cowherd friends, surrounded by cows. And there came a demon called Pralambaha. this Pralamba was a demon. And he came purposely to kill Krishna. And his aim was, he came in the guise of, disguise of a cowherd wife. He came as a cowherd wife, you see. So Krishna came and he was like there, like one of the cowherd boys. The demon was in the form of a cowherd boys. But Krishna knew everything very well. But still Krishna didn't show, as if he did not know anything about this Pralambasura. And he made him a good friend and they had a play. And the game was, whoever loses the game should carry the winner. So there are two groups. One group led by Balarama, one group led by Krishna. And what happened, this Pralamba was in the group of Krishna. And they lost the group. Okay? They lost. So the Pralamba had, as he was in the losers group, they had to carry the winners. And Pralambasura had to carry this fellow, Balarama. I mean, he carried him and he was going, and he went away to a very far off distance. And afterward, what happened? Somehow, Pralambasura was killed by Balarama. Then what happened? All this, well, Krishna was very busy in entertaining these people, killing Balarama, sorry, not but in killing Pralambasura. He didn't kill himself. He made Balarama kill Pralambasura. What happened? He was very busy. So by then, all the cows did not get any attention. The cows were grazing happily, lot of grass. Grazing, they went to another neighbor vanam called Aishikam. When they went there, suddenly they didn't know how to get back to Krishna. They lost the way. And when they were there, when Krishna went there to protect them, suddenly there was a forest fire. The forest fire came and they all really, they were getting scorched. And they all prayed to Krishna to come and protect. And Krishna went there to protect them. And Krishna told them, don't worry. Come on, all of you close your eyes. To say this one sentence, I told the whole story. Come on, don't worry. All the cows, all cowherds, close your eyes now. They are all standing in Aishikam, another forest. And close, they were surrounded by forest fire. They were getting scorched. They are all screaming, Krishna, protect, Krishna, protect. And what happened on the way? Krishna said, come on, all of you, don't worry. Close your eyes. They all close their eyes. And now open your eyes, he said. They opened. My God, they are in a different place. Where were they? And they opened. Oh, where is Aishikam? Where is the forest fire? Where is, oh, we are in Vrindavanam again. Which means, what will shift you from Aishikam to Vrindavanam? Okay. Vrindavanam was like an air-conditioned, nice place. No, it was not too hot, it was not too cold, it was not very pleasant, lot of flowers, the summer season was revealed in the form of flowers, like a spring, beautiful spring. So how? They're all wondering, oh Krishna, what did you do? How did you make us come here? How did we come? We didn't go anywhere, we're exactly where you were. Okay, Krishna, you closed your eyes. You open your eyes, which means in clear vision, you are in Vrindavanam. If you don't have clear vision, you are in Aishikam, surrounded by forest fire. Davanalaha. Okay? So if you're ignorant, in ignorance, you're all in samsara. Afflicted by samsara. In jnanam, you are the same place. And you are free from samsara. You are free from fear. What makes a difference? Jnanam. Okay? What the difference is in the perspective. Okay. That's what is said in this verses.
Manapamanayostulyaha.
Beautiful, simple and but beautiful verses.
Manapamanayostulyaha. Tulyo mitrari pakshayoho.
तुल्यो मित्रारिपक्षयोः सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी गुणातीतः स उच्यते. ए हु इज गुणातीतः, अर्जुन आस्क क्वेश्चन, फॉर दैट क्वेश्चन आंसर एंड्स हियर. ओके, वी सॉ द प्रीवियस वर्स एंड दिस वर्स आल्सो, वेरी नाइस. सो इन दीस टू वर्सेस कृष्णा गिवन आंसर 24 एंड 25 and 23rd. In three verses, Krishna gave an answer for the question, who is a gunatitaha? Gunatitaha kaha? Ityasya prashnasya uttaram dayoho trishu shlokeshu dattaha asti. In three shlokas, answer is given. The third word, now Krishna says here, look at this, very simple. It's all kindergarten verses, you can understand yourself nowadays. मानापमानयोस्तुल्यः मानापमानयोस्तुल्यः तुल्यो मित्रारिपक्षयोः तुल्यो मित्रारिपक्षयोः सर्वारम्भपरित्यागी गुणातीतः स उच्यते. सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी गुणातीतः स उच्यते. सः गुणातीतः उच्यते. सः उच्यते. उच्यते इज अ पैसिव वर्ब, प्रेजेंट टेंस पैसिव वर्ब, पैसिव वॉइस वर्ब. ही इज सेड, ही सेड. उच्यते इज सेड टू बी गुणातीतः. गुणातीतः उच्यते. इज सेड टू बी गुणातीतः. He is said to be the one who is free from trigunas. He is said to be the one who is free from samsara. He is one who has overcome gunas. A wise person. Who is a jnani? Who is a gunatitaha? He is said to be gunatita. Who? We'll see here. Sarva arambha parityagi. See, the person, sarva arambha means activity. Parityagi means the person who is free, parityagi means one who gives up. The person who gives up all forms of activities depending upon the results of actions for his happiness. See, wise person does not give up activities. One who gives up activities, one who does not perform activities for the sake of happiness. Okay, parityagi, one who gives up all activities. It means any activity itself is an expression of pressure, of wanting to accomplish something, fulfill something, achieve something, do something. Isn't it? And if there's the person has the pressure of wanting to accomplish, achieve, do something, the expression of one's sense of limitation. Sense of inadequacy centered on I, the lack of fullness on the part of the individual. So it's very natural for any ajnani to have this fundamental problem of sense of limitation centered on I. So sense of inadequacy centered on I. So naturally there'll be a pressure of wanting to do something, achieve something, accomplish something will be there. So it is nothing wrong to have a desire to achieve something. It's very natural. But it's an expression of what? One sense of limitation, inadequacy being centered on I. Therefore, this person is a wise person, is not a lazy person. Okay, don't mistake him to be a person of inactivity. A wise person is a person of activities, but he does not, who gives up activities for the sake of happiness. The sarvarambha parityagi. Then, mana apamanayoho tulyaha. See, mane, manam, apamanam. Akaranta apusakalingi shabdas. Manam, honor. Apamanam, dishonor. Okay. Manam, honor. Apamanam, dishonor, humiliation. Mane, apamane. In honor and in dishonor.
in dual, mana apamana yoho. Mane, mana apamana yoho. In honor and in dishonor, in both situations. In honor and dishonor, tulyaha, this person remains the same. But as an ajnani, if you are honored, if you are revered, and you feel so elated, very natural for all of us to feel elated. And if you are dishonored, you are humiliated, you feel so very sensitive and you get very upset and then you feel low, you feel dejected, depressed. So we can never remain balanced the same in mana and apamana if you're ignorant. It's impossible to remain the same in honor and dishonor if you're ignorant. So for a wise person, it is impossible to be disturbed. In mana and apamana, in honor and dishonor, a wise person can remain the same. Tulya nindastutihi, we saw already. Tulya mana apamanayoho. Mana apamanayoho tulyaha. This person remains balanced without elation and dejection. He remains the same in mana and apamana, which because honor cannot add to his nature what he is essentially. So dishonor cannot change his nature. So he is not dependent on if honor or dishonor are external situations. In one situation he feels honored, one situation he may feel dishonored. So he is not dependent on external situations for his happiness or security. For him, Atma, the self, is the only source of happiness and security. When the person has a right perspective, he becomes independent. In independence, for him, in honor, he is the same. He is dependent on honor for his happiness. And dishonor, he doesn't make any effort to get rid of dishonor for his happiness also. Therefore, he remains the same in honor and dishonor. Tulya, mana apamanayoho tulyaha. Dual, that is. Similarly, mitra aripakshayoho tulyaha. See, paksha means party. Mitram, friend. Arihi, enemy. Mitra aripakshayoho. Whether friends, he remains the same towards his friends and enemies. Whereas a wise person does not have an enemy. For him, wise person does not have a friend. Why? The friend and enemy is possible only if the person is the second thing other than the self. For him, absolutely what is only is the self. The second thing other than the self is not there. So relatively, whoever is there, difference also is one mithya for him. Therefore, mitra ari pakshayoho tulyaha. He remains the same towards his friend and enemy. Means he has no friend, he has no enemy. The people, others may look at the jnani, some people may look at the jnani as a friend. Some people who may look at the jnani as an enemy. Therefore, he has no enemies and friends. But the people may look at jnani as enemies and friends. Therefore, however they behave, an enemy's behavior, friend's behavior, no behavior can really shake his mind. So he remains the same towards an enemy and a friend. The friend's good deeds, good actions will not increase his happiness, not change his nature. Enemy's misbehavior also, improper activity also, will not change his nature. Okay? So, this person remains the same towards his friend and enemy. Mitra pakshaha, aripakshaha. Enemy's group, friend's group. He remains the same towards all of them. Mitra aripakshayoho tulyaha. And such a person, one who remains the same towards his friend and an enemy, mitra ari, I told you many times, the word Ari is the Ikaranta Pullinga Shabda, Arihi. Ari means enemy. Mitram is a neuter gender word. Akaranta Akusakalinga Shabda, Mitra Shabda, Mitram, friend. Arihi, enemy. Mitra Ari Pakshau. Mitra Pakshaha, Ari Pakshaha. Mitra Paksha, Mitra Ari Pakshayoho means he's a non-judgmental. He is not biased. Therefore, Mitra Ari Pakshayoho Tulyaha. He remains the same towards the friend and his enemy. And he remains the same in honor and dishonor. And he renounces all his activities. Therefore, such a person is said to be gunatitaha. Mitrari pakshayoho samaha. Manapamanayoho tulyaha. Manapamanayoho tulyaha. Sarvarambha parityagi yaha. Yaha is implied here. Saha gunatitaha uchyate. Gunatitaha iti kaha uchyate. Who is said to be gunatitaha? Who is the one who has overcome gunas? A wise person. Who is a wise person? Tulya nindastu. Okay. Tulya manapamanayoho tulyaha. Mitrari pakshayoho tulyaha. Then sarvarambha parityagi yaha saha gunatitaha uchyate. Beautiful verse, isn't it?
Manapamanayostulyaha tulyo mitrari pakshayo sarvarambha parityagi gunatitassa uchyate.
So Arjuna asks questions. Yeah, first question was, who is a gunatita? For that answer has been given. Now we also have understood who is a gunatita. Now you can make out whether we are gunatitas or not. Therefore now our effort must be, we have to make efforts to become a gunatita. That's how Ajnani. Spontaneous natural behavior should become an effortful behavior on our part. Once you understand, we also should try to be the same. If you are the same towards friend and enemy, means you have no friend and enemy. Okay, you have no enemy at all. If you happen to be enemy of somebody, then you remain the same towards the person. Don't react to the person's behavior. Is it clear? Okay, this is the verse. I'm going to stop now today, 5 minutes early, because next verse I want to explain properly. Now, how to become a gunatitaha? Who is a gunatitaha? Answer has been given for that question. How to become a gunatitaha? Krishna is going to give some tips which we'll see next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.